Hi, I'm Jodie Walmsley, author, keynote speaker, and happiness expert. I'm talking to you today from the Simply Laughter Online Summit. Now, my next guest you all know as Dave Berman, the Daily Laughers Man. I chose Dave to talk to us about his journey doing a daily laugh for 2 years, every single day with different guests around the world. He's also going to be talking to us about his coaching and about all the wonderful reasons why you need to add laughter into your life. Enjoy. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Hi, Jodie. Thanks for having me in this summit. This is such an exciting series that you've got.
Yeah, it's great, but it feels strange me being on this side asking you the questions. I'm used to you asking me the questions.
We've done that a few times with Daily Laughers, yeah.
We have, and it's great. And I'm so excited because, I mean, your dedication to your Daily Laughers is absolutely wonderful. It's been almost 2 years, hasn't it?
Well, as of the day we're recording this, yeah, just a few days shy of 2 years. And when people are seeing this, it will be over 2 years of making Yay! Laughter demonstration videos every single day. And that's why we call it Daily Laughers.
Oh, that's awesome. Well done, Dave. And now, what actually made you start the Daily Laughter series?
Well, I was already a daily laugher. I just didn't have that phrase. I've been laughing every day since sometime in 2011. And at the end of 2015, my book, Laughter for the Health of It, had been out for a little while. And I wanted to do something else to just build, you know, awareness and recognition of my place in the global laughter community. And I thought, well, I know laughing every day has been awesome for me. And I think anybody who laughs every day is going to be healthier and happier and a positive influence on people around them. So if I could just show my laugh every day and get people laughing with me, then it would create ripple effects. And we could really move in the direction of Dr. Kataria's vision of world peace through laughter.
That's awesome. And I know it's so nice being able to laugh with someone, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, I mean, we can commit to a daily laugh, but it's so much better and it works so much better and so much more contagious if we have someone to laugh with. So I love the idea and have always loved laughing with you.
Oh, yeah, I enjoy laughing with you too. We've made quite a few videos the past 2 years.
Yeah, we have. And now you are where in the world?
I'm in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam.
Wow. And I mean, I saw you here in London and I know that you've been all over the place. So what's actually taken you on this tour around the world?
Well, when I started Daily Laughers, I was based in Atlanta, Georgia in the U.S. And I had a bit of responsibility to take care of some sick family members. And so I was very limited in what I could do. The videos made sitting in front of my computer was, you know, that was a way I could connect with people all around the world. You know, in the first year of Daily Laughers, I made videos with people in all 50 United States and 54 other countries because of Skype. But when I got really into, well, what do I really want? And when I'm done with these family obligations, what can I make happen? I really need to do some traveling. And I'd made all these connections around the world with laughter people who were like, well, if you're ever in Melbourne, if you're ever in London, you know, like people inviting me. And so then we started taking a real serious look at what would it take for me to be able to travel and have something to offer that would make people want to come spend some time with me and help me earn money. And so that turned into the Laughnosis training. And I know you interviewed James about that. James and I designed that together. And I taught that all around Australia and around the UK. And that allowed me to get out of the US at the start of 2017 and see a lot of parts of the world.
That's awesome. I mean, there's nothing better than doing what you love and traveling. For me, I love that too.
Yeah, and when I left the U.S., I did not have Vietnam on my radar. There was another U.S. expat friend of mine who left the U.S. at the same time I did. And while I was in India and Australia and the U.K. and other places, I was watching him just fall in love with life here in Vietnam. And so I started asking him questions. And when my 6 months of booked events was getting near to the end and I didn't know where I would go next, I started asking him, you know, what would have to happen for me to come there? And it just made sense. And I've been here and I've been working on my next book and teaching laughter yoga. I've started a laughter club here and I've been using laughter to teach public speaking skills to Vietnamese people who already speak English and just, you know, kind of making stuff happen.
That's awesome. And that's the way to go. Now, it's always, you know, I watch you online and see all the wonderful stuff that you're doing. How do you get so many people to just laugh with you that you don't even know? And maybe they don't even speak the language.
Some of my favorite videos are with people on the street. And honestly, I just smile and say hello to people. And I make eye contact. You know, here in this culture in Vietnam, it's not really common for people to be comfortable with eye contact. It's something I have to work at a lot in my laughter yoga classes. But when I'm on the street, I feel like I have no restraints. I don't necessarily observe or even know about all of the cultural norms. So when I'm just being my friendly self, people respond. And sometimes just the prolonged eye contact and smile will make people laugh. And if they laugh, of course I laugh. Or maybe I laugh first and that gets them laughing. It's not always the same. But I just laugh with people and they laugh too.
I love that. And you know, I was actually with Dr. Kataria for 10 days in Bangalore and it was so much fun. We went with him, there were a few of us, we went with him to get his suit done. And he was making some suits at his favorite tailor. And oh my gosh, did we have fun stopping everywhere, anywhere, anyhow, just laughing with everybody. And it was really amazing. And it was really testament to what he wants to do, because you could just see the difference it made. And anybody joined in, you just start laughing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you can laugh anytime, anywhere.
Absolutely. And that's what's so wonderful about what we do. But now, going away from daily laughers a bit, you actually work on a lot of coaching, right?
Yeah, I started coaching in 2010, and originally I was trained in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and hypnosis and mindfulness. But right around the same time I started my coaching practice is when I started exploring laughter yoga just for myself. And it was so wonderful that I started recommending it to my clients and I started exploring how I could incorporate it into my work as a coach. And ultimately, that's what led Kelly Woods and I to write Laughter for the Health of It. It's what led James Hazelrig and I to develop the Laughnosis training. And now my approach, the hypnosis part is just so much kind of in the background and automatic. It's not really overt and on the surface anymore. What's much more on the surface is laughter. So I don't think of myself so much as a hypnotherapist anymore, even though that's what I'm absolutely trained for. I think of myself as a laughter coach. it's just how my work has evolved.
Well, that's great. And I mean, I think it's so valuable, and you know, it is a form of NLP anyway. So great. Now you talk about inside out. What do you mean by inside out laughter?
Well, I think that's another term for unconditional laughter. We use that term in laughter yoga. We also say laughing on purpose. We talk about voluntary laughter. There's many ways that we make the same point. And it's to say that we're born with the ability to laugh. Babies in all cultures laugh before they can speak and before they can understand what's funny. So we're born with the laughter inside of us. And as we grow up, society kind of conditions us to keep it inside and not let it out. And I have a totally different outlook. I say, let the laughter out from inside. So it's inside out laughter. And it reinforces a big sort of philosophical chunk of how I coach, which is to say that our feelings are only ever telling us about our thinking in the moment. And this is an inside out understanding of how we create our reality and our perception.
Great. And is there anything else that you see in life that we can see inside out?
Well, yeah, like where our feelings come from. You know, we often get tricked by our mind into thinking that our situation, our circumstances, somebody in our life is causing us to feel a certain way, but it's never true. See, thoughts are inevitable. Believing them is optional. So we make up stories and it convinces us that this is what's responsible for how I feel. And it's just not true. I mean, we identify so much with our thinking, but the truth is you're not your thoughts. It just feels like you are. So all of this to me reflects this inside out understanding, and laughter in my coaching work is a way to help people get an understanding of these philosophical concepts.
Yeah, I think it's really important because people, they got that fear thing happening, and it's, they think it's so real because it's a thought, but it's not. So I think people do need coaching and need to find out ways to decipher what is real and what is not. It sounds weird, doesn't it? But it's actually true.
Well, we all live in separate realities, and that reality that you have different from the one I have and the next person, what we're talking about is perception, but perception is made 100% from thought.
Absolutely. Now, I watch you a lot on Facebook and I see all your wonderful things and your messages. Now, you often talk about allowing. What do you actually mean by allowing?
Well, the laughter's inside. If we want it to come out, we have to allow it to come out. But this word becomes important because when I talk to new people a lot about laughter yoga, and they get confused and they say, doesn't it feel weird to force yourself to laugh? Or I don't think I could force myself to laugh. And I say, aha, you're having a misunderstanding here. This is not about forcing the laughter. It's about allowing the laughter. It's already inside you. Just allow it to come out. And I also contrast allowing with resisting. So very often we want to do something, it could be anything, and ideally it will be easy and natural, but we get into sort of an energetic tug of war with something, and that creates resistance. And the opposite of it is allowing. So when we feel that kind of energy, this is a clue that we're trying to force something, or that we're resisting how easy it could be. And the alternative is allowing.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because actually, I don't know, I heard someone mention it the other day saying, oh, it's forced laughter. And I was like, oh my God, that's negative, negative connotation. It's right, not forced. Right. So I'm glad that you actually, you know, gave us that. It is so much just allowing it to happen and using it in the right places. Because I know, even as a laughter yogi, and I do laugh like everybody else, but there are those times where I have to remind myself, just allow it to happen.
Yeah. And you know, another one of the synonyms we were talking about, unconditional laughter, voluntary laughter, all these other words, another one is intentional laughter. You know, I intend to laugh every day because I know it helps me to be healthy and happy and connect with people and be successful and peaceful. And so there's all these reasons why just having that orientation around allowing is really what I guess I base my intention on. I allow myself to be happy and I allow myself to laugh, but I don't have to make those things happen or force those things to happen.
And it's true, because we always talk about, I'll be happy when, I'll be happy, you know? And the thing is that we always lift the bar. Once we got that, we're still not happy because we want then something else. So I think it's the same thing with the laughter. It's like, laugh now. Don't wait for something to happen to have to laugh. Just allow it. I think you've really nailed it there, and I've always loved that. And now, another thing that I saw you talk about learning by implication. What is that?
Well, there's lots of things in life from the time we're babies that we learn by implication. So think about gravity or sleep or how to digest food. All of these things we're not actually taught, but we learn by implication, by the experience that we have. And when we do laughter yoga, the experiences that we get from the kind of exercises and the kind of interaction that we have and the mindset that we're invited to adopt during a laughter session, it creates implications. So, you know, one of the things that's emerged for me from my laughter practice, one of the many memes that I've coined, is the more you laugh on purpose, the more life shows you reasons to laugh. So when we practice laughter yoga and we do an exercise like red light, green light, for example, so we're pretending to drive and we're laughing a little bit and the light turns green and then we laugh, you know, maximum energy and the light goes red, you know, green again, and we're driving and we're laughing, you know, more subtly and then red light. This is reconditioning us. This is teaching us something that becomes very practical in our day-to-day life. The implication from doing this exercise for many people is they start laughing in their car. And they're no longer irritated and annoyed and frustrated and angered by traffic, by running late for an appointment, by hitting every red light on the stretch of highway. So implications from our laughter exercise show up in ordinary life, but nobody's directly teaching these lessons. They emerge as a byproduct of doing our laughter exercise.
Yeah, and that's a big one. I mean, I was just in Dubai, as you know, that's where we first met online, but the traffic is crazy. And then I came here and, oh my gosh, it's even, you know, just as bad here. So it seems that these are things that everybody is faced with. So we do need to use it and then change the way that we think about it. So yeah, always good.
Yeah.
Now, you know, a big thing is resilience. Why is that such an important word for you?
Well, a lot of people talk about resilience. I know Dr. Kataria loves to emphasize that laughter yoga gives us emotional intelligence, and one of the real sort of crowning achievements, one of the high points of the emotional intelligence that we can develop through laughter yoga is resilience. To me, I see that resilience means being able to laugh no matter what. No matter what kind of situation or setback or challenge we might encounter in life, laughter is possible in any situation. So the more I've gotten into laughter yoga over the past, you know, 7.5 years or whatever it's been, the more I've found that I just laugh naturally. You know, the learning by implication has been that I laugh in all kinds of situations where people are like, man, that would have freaked me out. Or, you know, it would have taken me, you know, 2 months in therapy to process that, and in a minute you were back to your playful self laughing, you know. And this is what resilience means to me. It means we can laugh no matter what.
Yeah, definitely. I have a few stories about that too, and it's really fun because what I'm not going to go into the story now, but it was something my sister and I went through together, and I dealt with it by laughing, and to this day she's still stuck on it, and I've let it go and gone, okay, so it really, really does make a difference.
Yeah, I have a story, not exactly like yours, but a little over a year ago, the last time I was in New York visiting my parents, I was helping my dad move something heavy in the garage, and it fell on my foot, and my instinct was to laugh. And my dad, confused by this, looks at me and he says, David, you know, it's okay to swear if you want. And I said, well, Dad, I don't think swearing is going to produce as many endorphins as laughing. And that's going to kind of dull the pain. It's got this natural analgesic effect, and my foot's not going to hurt. And so, you know, this was my natural instinct. I was resilient in that situation. I could laugh even when my foot hurt.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. Another thing that you talk about is focus on impact. What is that? How do you focus on impact?
All right, so now you're kind of coming full circle. This is right back to the beginning of Daily Laughers. When I started, as I mentioned, I had already been laughing every day for several years, and I realized how much better the world would be if we had a million or more people who were laughing every day, because each one of them would be creating these ripple effects. I mean, imagine if the five people who you spend the most time around were all healthier and happier and a positive influence through laughter. That would quickly spread. So this was my concept of how I could magnify my own impact or amplify my own impact. By laughing every day, I'm a good influence on the people around. But by making a video of me laughing every day and showing other people around the world and getting their stories about how laughter impacts them. You know, that's one of the most amazing things that Daily Laughers has accomplished or achieved or maybe just contributed to the, you know, the global mission of laughter yoga. We've had stories of people overcoming depression and anxiety and cancer and making a difference to dialysis patients and dementia patients and taking laughter into prisons and in schools and so many ways that people are sharing through Daily Laughers videos about the impact they're creating. And we put all those videos together and we're amplifying the impact of their stories. And this is what my next book is going to be about. This is why I came to Ho Chi Minh City, is to write the book, I'm a Daily Laugher. And it's going to be all anecdotes about the impact of having a daily laughter practice. Stories from my life, like the one I just shared about my dad, stories from the people who have been in my videos, and stories about the people that we've laughed with as laughter professionals. So all of that, I hope, will be in service to the same mission of the videos, and that's to inspire more people to have a daily laughter practice, to continue spreading these ripple effects. And so I guess, you know, I have summed it up with another meme, which I guess you were maybe inviting me or creating the space to share. So I say, you know, laughing every day is the least you can do for a healthier, happier, more peaceful world. And that idea right there, a happier, healthier, more peaceful world, that's what's motivated and inspired me to keep going and making these videos and traveling and laughing with people in as many different places as possible. You know, that first year was all 50 states and 54 other countries. Well, now we've included people from 66 other countries. So, you know, this really is about a more peaceful world, or you know, Dr. Kataria's vision of world peace through laughter. This is how I see I can kind of point us in that direction, or just head in that direction myself and invite people to come along with me.
Yeah, wonderful. And I mean, you've done so well. So now what is the big picture now? Where are you going from here?
Well, I'm going to stay here, I think, until my next book is done. I mean, it's possible I may have some things that require me to travel before it's done. But for the most part, my hope is complete the book, leave Ho Chi Minh City with a viable laughter club and some new leaders who will start more laughter clubs. Because there's laughter yoga in Hanoi, but there was no laughter yoga in Ho Chi Minh City when I got here. So I really would like to leave Ho Chi Minh City with at least one operating laughter club and some newly trained laughter leaders who will create more laughter clubs. And then to resume traveling to places where I can visit more of my laughter friends and do workshops and presentations about the new book when it's ready.
That's great. And of course, you do your coaching. Do you do your coaching online, or is it face-to-face, or how do you do your coaching?
Yeah, mostly nowadays it is online, so on Zoom or Skype. When I have the opportunity to coach in person, I certainly would. Here in Ho Chi Minh City, I've started teaching public speaking skills for Vietnamese people who are already fluent in English. I actually went to Thailand to teach a weekend course in public speaking, and there's certainly an element of coaching involved in that, but I do see them a bit separately. You know, the coaching that I do helps people with things like stress, anxiety, fear, panic attack, a sense of insecurity. You know, I like to work with people who kind of have their life together. You know, they've got a decent job, their family is intact, but yet they're just not feeling fulfilled. They sense that there's something more that they can get out of life, and laughter will help them access those feelings. And the laughter also creates this avenue for coaching and teaching about this inside out understanding. People who are feeling fear and scarcity and anxiety or lack of fulfillment, it's a misunderstanding about where the feelings are coming from. And when people learn about this relationship between thoughts, creating feelings, feelings really only ever giving real-time feedback about thinking, this is really profound and transformational for people. So that's the kind of coaching that I prefer to focus on nowadays. And the laughter is a teaching vehicle.
Absolutely. Now, if somebody was going to come to you about coaching, how long do you coach for? Is it a set of so many sessions, or how do you work that?
It's very customized. I don't do one-off sessions typically. So they are packages. They might be a month or 3 months or 6 months. We get started with a conversation and I just get to know people. I listen very deeply to where they're at. You know, we all live in separate realities. And if I'm going to help somebody, I have to understand, what does the world look like to them in their mind? And when I begin to get a person, when I understand them, then I can sort of suggest how we can go forward together. So I start out talking to people just to get to know them. And then if I think I can help them, if we've had a good experience connecting, then I'll ask their permission. Is it all right if I get back to you with a proposal for some possible ways that we can work together? And people are generally open to, well, sure, tell me what you're thinking. You know, and then we'll have another conversation. We'll talk about some possibilities. And then we'll reach an agreement about the fee and about the duration. It's always customized.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's so important to customize it. So, wow, that's great. Good news. I'm going to throw a question to you that we haven't talked about and that might be a bit different to normal. Ooh. Now, in this wonderful world, yes, let's start laughing. In our wonderful world of smart cities and everything being about technology, how do you think that we can keep it to being a happy city and to keep being happy?
Wow.
I told you.
Yeah. Well, you know, certainly as we walk down the street, smiling at strangers, hello, laughing, you know, this absolutely has made a difference in my experience here in not just a city, but a whole country where I don't speak their language. Going into public places like parks, where I've been hosting laughter yoga classes. You know, one of the cultural things that I've encountered here in Ho Chi Minh City that I never saw anywhere else in the world that I've been so far, people here really are eager to learn English. So if you show up in the park and you are a Westerner and they, just from your appearance, expect that you probably speak English, people will approach you and ask you, can I have a few minutes of your time to practice English? And usually when I go to the park and this happens, I say, well, I'm not here to teach English. I'm here to teach laughter. But if you come to my laughter class, it's free. Then afterwards, we can talk about how great you feel. And so many people will join the laughter class that way. And then at the end, we practice English a little bit, talking about the experience. So this is how I personally address your question. I don't know that that's a universal answer. But that's my answer.
Yeah, it's actually it's a fun one because I'm doing a bit of research on it. And it's interesting because I'm asking all the laughter yogis what they would say. And it's all about that connecting. Because I think that with our smart worlds and we're always on our phones, we do have to disconnect. And so it's interesting. I like to spring that on everyone and see what they say.
Well, you know, another thing that I've taken to doing here in the park, people will approach me. Can I practice English? When I go out to eat, which is often, and I sit down near a Vietnamese person, if they make eye contact with me, I will say hello, you know, xin chào. If they're willing to be even slightly friendly to me, I strike up conversation. And sometimes I ask them, can I practice English with you? So I'm turning the tables, and it's, you know, it's very disarming. And so, you know, I use breaking bread, eating a meal, as a way to connect with people. And I start out the same way as I would with getting to know a potential coaching client. I just ask questions and I listen. You know, I don't start out telling people about laughter or where I'm from or why I'm here. They'll ask me questions. They always are curious to know about me. But I get out in front of it by asking them questions.
Yeah, I think that is important. People like to be heard. So good start. Yeah. Well, we've talked about so many things today, and I know that you have a special gift for our people. What is it? It's a PDF on?
Well, there's a PDF about sort of five key points that we've talked about here, the inside-out understanding, allowing, learning by implication, resilience, and having an impact. And so this is a PDF that you can get that's got some really nice-looking memes that you can share, and also links to videos on each of these five things. So you'll hear me talk a little bit more about it. You'll see some specific laughter exercises that you can do with me that I use to teach these points. We haven't laughed all that much, Jody.
I know. I was just
in
thinking
this interview.
It's funny.
So in this, yeah. So we've done a lot of talking here, but these points all have laughter exercises that go along with them. So if you go ahead and sign up to get the PDF, you'll see these lovely memes that will remind you of these ideas, and also get a link for a video with laughter exercises that also reinforces these same points. And then if you'd like to talk to me about doing some one-on-one work, I'd love to hear from you. And we'll give our thanks to Jody for connecting us.
Yay! I'll put a link down below anyway, so they can get that PDF, and then they can also contact you about one, your daily laughers, if they want to get onto that, and then also your coaching program. So all the links will be below.
Yay!
Yay! It's so true, you know, because at the moment I'm talking about what laughter does. We're not actually laughing, so it's true. But I'm guessing you and I are kicking off the whole show, and we'll do some laughter there.
Yeah, and if you're going to, you know, since you're going to be linking all these things, you could also link some of our past laughter videos together, since there are so many.
Even wonderful. Even if,
yeah.
Why not? That's a great idea. Dave, thank you so much. Good luck with all the wonderful projects that you got going on, and thank you for talking to us today.
Well, thank you, Jody. This is an amazing task that you've taken on, and I appreciate that. Many of my other laughter friends are getting to be showcased here, but also people who I've never encountered before are sharing their wisdom and gifts, and I look forward to seeing the other people that you've interviewed here. So congratulations to you on this really massive, major project.
Thank you. Okay, take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.